Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore how to apply skills and competencies to the world of work.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast. Our theme for this series is HR Game Changers, Applying Skills and Competencies to the World of Work. My name is Dan Vanderwerf. I'm principal consultant and co-founder at Perennial Talent. In this episode, I'll be talking to Mark Kastner about applying skills and competencies to the talent lifecycle. Mark has over 20 years of experience in the fields of human resources, talent management, learning and development, and franchisee relations. Mark has also been responsible for leading large-scale projects and initiatives, guiding cross-functional teams and large learning teams. He has also managed outside consultants and agencies and has had broad P&L responsibility. Currently, Mark's position with Graphic Packaging International is Vice President, Talent Management, Learning and Development, and Diversity and Inclusion. Mark is responsible for providing enterprise-wide thought leadership and counsel to senior executives on all areas of talent, including talent acquisition, diversity and inclusion, learning and development, performance management, succession, leadership development, and employee engagement. He leads a team that translates and deploys best-in-class talent management and talent acquisition processes and solutions in a way that most effectively enables GPI's culture and employees. Additionally, he also leads the team who develops strategies and solutions that directly impact GPI's culture, namely employee engagement, career development, diversity and inclusion, and leadership expectations. Wow, Mark, quite a lot of responsibilities you have there. That's awesome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so pleased to have you on our episode today.
Dan, thank you. Thank you very much.
So I usually like to start these off with a fun kind of icebreaker question just to get the conversation flowing. So can you tell me about the best thing that you have watched or read lately?
Oh, wow. The best thing that I have watched is probably Yellowstone. It's one of my favorite shows on television right now. And the new season just started and, you know, very well written, great drama, and just, you know, captures your attention. So
absolutely. That's a great call out. I also love the scenery in it. Like, it's in a very nature type in environment, right? So some of the cinematography stuff is quite right. Cool too.
Exactly.
Awesome. Great recommendation. So moving to our more talent management-esque questions. So thinking of the whole talent life cycle, you know, from recruiting to hiring to L&D and career pathing, what is the biggest need or the greatest changes that you have seen?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that as organizations are maneuvering and navigating the pandemic, and we all see in the news the labor shortage, and also that, you know, some individuals are referring to it as the great resignation or the, you know, the great reshuffle, you're seeing that it's, you know, difficult to find talent, because you're competing, you know, with other organizations, and that, you know, the pool is just smaller. So I think it's really critical for organizations to have a strong employee value proposition that connects with individuals' values, their purpose. I think we're seeing that, you know, again, coming out of, you know, not coming out of, but as we navigate the pandemic, we have, we as individuals and as employees are thinking about, you know, our own value system. How does that continue to align to the organizations that we work for? And, you know, is there still that alignment? Do I feel like I'm still providing a purpose? Do I feel like I'm recognized and valued? And I think that as HR professionals and as talent professionals, we have to think about the experiences that our employees encounter on a day-to-day basis and how we connect with them. And I think that that's what's going to separate, you know, organizations in the future as they think about hiring talent or, you know, attracting talent. Talent's going to be attracted to, you know, those organizations where they see that, you know, there's that strong value proposition that aligns with their own purpose and their own values.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. And as you say, that's so important right now when it's kind of a job seeker's market. Like a lot of the people out there have a lot of offers at the same time. So what's going to set your company apart from the other three that are also making an offer to the same candidate?
Right. Very much so.
Okay. So what skills or competencies do you feel are most important right now for organizations to hire for or to develop internally in their current workforce?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, there's, you know, different philosophical points of view in regards to, you know, the skills and, you know, capabilities or competencies. I mean, I personally feel that there are universal skills that we all need in order to be successful in our roles. And the reason I refer to those as universal skills is that, you know, they're agnostic to the roles that we're in. Now, grant you, one of the universal skills is that you need to have technical competence, right? So if I'm an HR professional, I need to be very competent within my technical expertise. So that's one of the universal skills: learning agility, growth mindset, influencing. Those skills are more universal, and I, you know, consider those very important for the future because we, you know, we live in a world that is constantly changing, and so you need to have that learning agility. You need to be, you know, a student of life, a student of learning. We all in our day-to-day activities influence others, inspire others. And so you couple those universal skills with, you know, your technical acumen. And I think that that's what helps separate, you know, you from the pack. And, you know, even as an organization, we need to make, you know, part of the development and investing in your employees is developing those universal skills. So hopefully that makes a little bit, you know, hopefully that makes sense. You know, because you could rattle off, you know, people need to have negotiations or business acumen, and those are true. But, you know, I think these universal skills help set us up in order for us to have long runway. You can cross, you know, organizations or industries, and you can do numerous types of roles. It makes you have more optionality, in my opinion. Which is important from a talent perspective, right? Because then you're able to develop employees and in a way that they have, you know, optionality. Somebody can go on a finance track. Somebody can spend time in supply chain. And you're more well-rounded because you're equipped with those skills that can be applicable to different roles and to different disciplines within the organization.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And that's almost like those universal skills are a bit more like meta, if you will. Like if you have learning, agility, and growth mindset, that should help you to pick up any more specific skills that you might need to learn given a certain situation or changing context or anything like that.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. They are more meta. They're less specific. It's like even, you know, technical or functional competency is more of a meta skill, right? Because then you can say, okay, within, you know, even within HR, are you going to go more down a generalist path or a business partner path? Are you going to work in one of the, you know, sometimes referred to as a center of expertise or a center of excellence? Mm-hmm. You know, which, you know, could be total rewards or, you know, talent or diversity and inclusion. You know, but overarching, you need to have that technical HR acumen, and then you're going to have very specific skills that are required in the role that or the discipline that within which you want to grow your career.
Absolutely. I also love the label universal skills. Like, we often call them transferable skills, but I think universal skills is even a kind of nicer, more broader definition of them. So that's cool. So thinking of these universal skills, what can companies do to make sure they are developing their people in terms of these universal skills?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, where it's not a, you know, one size fits all. This is where it's important to have, you know, a very specific learning strategy or development strategy. And also, I think this is where it lines up with talent in regards to understanding, you know, people's motivation, what their aspirations are. And when you understand that and align that with the organization, that helps you develop a very specific development plan that's tailored to them, right? I think, you know, over the last couple of decades, we live in an era of personalization. And I think learning is very similar to that. Learning is personalized to the individual. Now, the organization has, in my opinion, has an obligation to provide formal learning. You know, and organizations do that in different ways. And several, you know, in a lot of ways, they'll do that in a combination. And what I mean by that is that you'll have on-demand learning that's available in our library where you can go and search out on-demand experiences or learning assets that line up with these universal skills. It could also be where you do project work, right? So let's say, you know, one of the universal skills is around collaboration. Let's say I want to build that universal skill. I may have that individual work on a cross-functional strategic project or initiative within the organization. You know, another way is to have them do some on-demand courses. I may give them an executive coach. They could go to a formal course around collaboration, right? So it's like, it's personalizing that development plan using the different assets of the learning strategy within the organization. And, you know, communities of practice, you know, play a role and in user-generated content, right? So to me, it's a lot of different approaches that you use. And I think if you had to say, okay, well, Mark, that's, you gave us a lot of information. How would you summarize that, right? And I think it's the personalization of learning around what is needed for the development of that individual to realize their fullest potential. That's how I would summarize it.
Yep.
And as talent professional and as leaders and as HR professionals, it's our role to help shape that. So again, that individual can realize their fullest potential. And, you know, I know we've talked about this in the past, is realizing your fullest realizing your fullest potential doesn't always equate to career progression. I think there's this misunderstanding, or can be a misunderstanding, that career development equals career progression. And I think we have to realize that people have different aspirations and different motivations. Some people want to grow where they're planted, right? Or in the role that they're in. And they don't aspire to do other, you know, other roles or different things in the organization. And that's completely fine. That's healthy. That adds stability, but we still have an obligation to develop them, to invest in them, to ensure that they feel and have a purpose that aligns to the vision of the organization and that they're recognized and valued. And then you're going to have individuals that want to go and do other roles. Sometimes those are lateral. Sometimes those can be, you know, the next step up. And so we have to, you know, you really, this again goes to the personalization because it's not a one size fits all. And I think that that's, you know, in the past, maybe we've, you know, we assume that everybody wants the same thing. We develop everybody the same way. And so I think it's more of this democratization of learning and this personalization of learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's also the progression that we've seen how in the past you'd see career ladders where people kind of go up the next rung, and that's kind of shifted to more of a career lattice now where it's more not only vertical moves, but more horizontal moves as well, where you might want to transition to a whole different business unit, and that's fine too. So yeah, it all comes back to that kind of personalization of it, and what works for you as a person.
Yeah, I think you said it well. I mean, it's not, you know, if you sit down with lots of individuals and you have, you know, ask them questions about their careers, more times than not, you'll notice that it's not a ladder, that it is a lattice, right?
Exactly.
Just in the organic conversation that you have with them.
Yep.
And that I think as, you know, we think about skills and capabilities and competencies, it's about the experiences that event individual has achieved or accomplished or experienced within their career that helps them progress. Mm-hmm. Or to thrive or to realize their fullest potential. It's not necessarily about the titles that I've had or, you know, the jumps, but it's about what experience did I learn from each one of those different roles and how those experiences then achieve what is, you know, is my aspiration.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So linking back to hiring, how do you think people should hire for these types of universal skills? So clearly they're important. How do you make sure you're hiring people that have the technical competence and that growth mindset and all those important universal skills?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the tried and true, and I'm a firm believer in, you know, behavioral interviewing. I think it's around exploring the experiences that the individual has achieved or accomplished over the course of their journey. So it's asking, you know, very specific examples around, you know, in your, you know, give me an example in your past roles where you demonstrated, you know, learning agility, or talk to me about a time where you had difficulty collaborating with other individuals. And what did that, you know, what did that look like? You know, give me an example of innovation. You know, one of my favorite universal skills is, you know, rational risk taking, you know, and so you can give, you know, an example or ask a question, you know, of a leader that, you know, talks about, give me an example in your career where you took a professional risk and what was the outcome. And so it's an exploration, right? You're exploring past indicators around these specific skills, right? The resume will, or the credentials give you lots of information around their technical ability. And obviously you want to explore that as well. But I think that, you know, getting into understanding, you know, these skills that, you know, are, to your point, are transferable, they also help you understand how the individual thinks, how the individual mm-hmm. works with others. Do they, in a respectful way, challenge, you know, status quo? That's the learning agility and the rational risk taking. How do they solve problems? So I think you do that through an exploration, through very specific examples.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I mean, we know that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And the best way to get at that, as you say, is through that kind of structured behavioral interview. And where I often see people kind of fall a bit short in their behavioral interviewing is that they ask those really good behavioral interview questions like, tell me about a time you had to work through a stressful situation. But then where they fall short is they have a really subjective rating scale where it's like one is poor answer, three is fair answer, and five is exceptional answer, where you really get the most bang for your buck in this type of interview is having those, that behaviorally anchored rating scale, which is kind of the gold standard of this type of interview.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, I think, you know, lots of times, you know, we can overthink it. We, you know, without, you know, a 1 to 5 scale or, you know, this, you know, we don't provide enough information around what does good look like. So to your point, it's really important when you're looking for rational risk taking, you know, what is the behavioral anchor of what does that, when that looks great, you know, use a subjective term, you know, what does that look like? And then what does it look like when it's, you know, on, you know, maybe on par, or what does it not look like, or when you don't see it, right? But it's getting those clear anchors so that when you're hearing the examples, you're going, wow, oh, I get it. You know, they were curious about what it was outside the norm or two steps ahead. They challenged the status quo. They had the courage to look and leap, fueling the growth of the organization. They considered data when taking that risk. They understand and promoted the vision that, you know, asking what if, like that to me, that anchor very clearly describes what you're looking for in like rational risk taking, right? Yep. So it's having those clear descriptors of what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And that also helps with your interviews in order to be able to objectively evaluate one candidate from another candidate.
Exactly. And I think the key word there is objectively, because if you don't have those bars in place, then you're opening it up to all kinds of biases, because a manager might say, well, that's a 5, and they don't really have a good rationale for it. So there's probably some sort of bias at play, which is why they're kind of giving certain candidates a more favorable rating.
Exactly.
Cool. So that's a good segue actually to my next question. So how do you think diversity, equity, and inclusion should be incorporated into the talent lifecycle?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's incorporated in different ways. I mean, we know that through lots of research that diverse teams are, you know, have a higher probability of being more successful than homogeneous teams. So I think it's important. And, you know, we all, as human beings, we love familiarity, right? We like those things. We feel comfortable with things that are familiar to ourselves. And so it's important that we try to remove our, you know, or be very conscious of our bias, and that we're challenging ourselves to look for and hire people or hire individuals that will augment the team, bring something different to the team, a different point of view, diversity of thought, you know, diversity of ethnicity, diversity of gender, because we all, that shapes our experience. We all have different experiences based on, you know, our upbringing, our race, our ethnicity, our sexual orientation, and that forms who we are as an individual. And it's important that as we think about the talent life cycle and hiring, that as we form teams, that we augment those teams so that one, individuals can bring their whole self, but by bringing your whole self, you're bringing something to the team that actually makes us better, right? And adds those experiences, because we're a combination of our experiences, and it's those experiences that make us powerful teams when you put all that together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so my last question, Mark, do you have any advice for other HR and talent professionals out there who are looking to improve their talent management processes?
I would say the one that comes to mind is performance management. And I think that we continue to evolve our approach, and lots of organizations have moved away from, you know, your more traditional approach, which is, you know, your mid-year, you know, you set goals at the beginning of the year, you do a mid-year review, and then you do an end of year review. And, you know, I think most of our colleagues that are listening would say, you know, there's some opportunities with that approach. And you've seen organizations go to what we call more of a continuous approach to performance management. And, you know, that's where, you know, on a monthly or on a certain cadence, you're thinking, leaders are thinking about the performance of the individuals on their team. You're giving constant feedback. You know, we know that feedback is best, you know, received and more effective when it's in the moment or in the close delivery of the circumstance or the situation that occurred. And so, you know, my advice is, you know, I think we need to continue to challenge our approach that we have to performance management, and that we think about how to make it more organic and built into the general workflow of a person's day. I know we personally have been experimenting with the monthly approach, where it's it's a continuous cycle where we're thinking about the individual's performance. You give feedback. Again, it's more organic. We also have added the element where leaders get feedback from their team. So it's not just the leader providing feedback to the employee on the individual's performance, but also the team gets to give feedback to the leader around their effectiveness. And what does the team need in order to be the most effective? And so, you know, I think looking at that as a piece of advice, and then also, you know, more broadly, I mean, this kind of goes to the universal skill concept of we need to be willing to take rational risks and to do experimentation. And experimentation is different than a pilot. You know, a pilot assumes that you're going to scale it. Experimentation is actually, I'm going to do some experiments and I'm going to understand what works and what doesn't work. And those things that work will scale, and what those things that don't work, we'll try again. And that's why you keep experimenting to understand, you know, how you can continue to be more efficient and effective and productive. And again, it goes back to that learning agility, the being able to fail. Fail fast, fail forward, sometimes it's referred to, because we typically learn more from our failures than we do from our successes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that advice to experiment. And I mean, some of the larger companies, like if you think of like a Google, for example, they experiment all the time, where they're like, let's try this approach to performance management in this group and a completely other approach in that group. And then we'll kind of see what works and what doesn't work. I think that's a really good approach to basically anything, is try new things and see what happens.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing all your advice and wisdom into talent management today. It was fun and a pleasure to have you on today.
Yeah, Dan, thank you so much. I appreciated it.